friend time.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Tea Party Podcast. It's a podcast where you find new friends and new music. This week, I am joined by a Nashville native whose songs I promise you have heard on the radio and you didn't even know it. He's working on making the move from behind the scenes to up on stage. His first release has over 23 million streams on Spotify alone, and he's not done yet. He's here to tell us what's going on next. Let's welcome to the show, Mr. Josh Miranda. Josh, how the heck are you, friend?
What's up, brother? I'm good, man. I'm good. Happy to be talking to you.
Well, I'm excited to get to know a little bit more about you and share some of your music with everybody. And we'll tee off with Josh next.
It's time to tee off with Ty and today's guest. Here comes the first four.
Okay, here we go. Question number one, Josh. If you couldn't be in the entertainment industry, what job would you have?
That's a great question, man. I guess what I would be doing if I wasn't doing music is, this sounds weird to people unless you are one or, you know, you're in the dental field, but I was in school for oral and maxillofacial surgery. So I would do that. I'd be a surgeon of the mouth and face, essentially. Popping out wisdom teeth, dental implants, TMJ surgery, face trauma. That's probably what I'd be doing if I wasn't doing music.
Okay. I like it. How about this? If I give you control of the music at a party and say, play something to get everybody going, what's the first song you're going to pop on?
First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to read the room. But I mean, there's two songs.
That's a vet move.
Yeah, we got to read the room because I mean, you never know. You know, you got to know what's the age bracket we're working with and stuff. But I will say this. Either of these two songs were jumping when I was a kid and growing up, and now they still set it off everywhere regardless of your age bracket, but that'd be Get Low or Yeah. I mean, either one of those pretty much gets it going and sets the tone.
It does. I mean, I can think of very few places that those songs aren't going to pop off.
Dude, the second you hear rum dum dum, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, you know exactly what's about to happen
every single time.
It's about to pop off for sure.
Okay, how about this one, Josh? If you could bring a fictional character from a TV, movie, book to life and hang out with them for a day, who would it be?
Oh, man, that's a tough question.
So many choices.
I know, man. Goodness gracious, this is insane. I didn't see that one coming. I've never been at that. Okay, so fictional. Fictional, let's see. Man, that's just... I'm going through so many different things in my head. I have a four-year-old little girl, so I've just been annihilated with Disney princess movies recently, so I'm trying to think. But let's go with you know, I'm gonna go Buzz Lightyear.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, to infinity and beyond, baby.
So are you guys excited for the new Lightyear movie then?
I am personally, but I mean, you know, I grew up with Toy Story, so I've seen them all. You know, I cried, I've laughed, I've done it all. So I'm pretty jacked. We got to get my daughter up to speed, though.
Yeah, you got to get her ready for that one.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, last question of the first four. If you could have an unlimited supply of anything, whiskey, guitar strings, tacos, scotch tape, whatever it is, other than money, what would it be?
Unlimited supply of anything, man. I mean, is it weird to say music? I don't think I can do anything without music. Even if I'm not playing it, I just want to listen to it. I don't ever want that to stop, ever.
I feel like that's a good answer. A little bit of a cop-out, but I feel like it's a good answer.
If not, let's go with, if it's not music, then we're going to go, man, I do love some tacos. You said tacos. I mean, I'm heading to a little joint called Cinco de Mayo down the street from my house after this, and I'm gonna crush some tacos.
That sounds fantastic. You'd be surprised how often that question turns into food. Cereals, tacos, beers, always.
I mean, I was gonna say tequila, but I didn't want to, you know, taco.
There you go. Yeah. They kind of go together, right? You can't have one without the other.
Absolutely.
Josh, man, thanks for playing along. That was the first four, but now let's get to know you a little bit. Give us a story of growing up and tell us how you originally got into music.
Yeah, man. So I was born and raised Hendersonville, Tennessee. It's like 25 minutes north of Nashville. I grew up around music. My aunt wanted to be a country singer, so that's why my whole family moved down here, and I happened to be born like right after they moved down here. And so I grew up around it and, you know, did it all through high school and stuff. And then college, you know, I didn't get auditioned for the School of Music and didn't get in. And so I was like, well, guess it's time to grow up and make some money. So figured I'd do pre-med, pre-law. One of my good friend's dads was an oral maxillofacial surgeon. So I was like, man, can I shadow you? You know, I'm interested. And I kind of fell in love with that during college and stuff, and just kept writing songs just for fun. And my music started getting attention probably like my junior year of college. And it was the look on my parents' faces when I told them that I think I'm going to pursue music when I had the surgeon thing just teed up. It was a priceless look on their face. But I promised them, I said, you give me 6 months after graduation, which if you're listening to this, 6 months is not enough time. Do not recommend that. But I said, you give me 6 months to treat songwriting and music as if it is my job. I budgeted money from working as a surgical assistant. I was like, just give me 6 months. That doesn't work out and I don't have an offer, I will do what I need to do, take the admissions test and go down that road. And that was a deal we made. In 6 months to the day, we were having a lunch at Burger Republic in the Gulch in Nashville. And I'm pretty sure it was like the intervention because my mom was there, my grandma was there, you know, like the whole squad. And they're like, hey, you know, it's been 6 months since graduation. I'm like, yeah, I know.
They wasted no time.
No time at all, bro. No time at all. And so 6 months of the day, we order lunch. Before the food comes, Brett James gives me a call and he's like, hey, who's your lawyer? And I was like, am I getting sued for something? Like, what? Why? And he was like, no, he's like, I want to sign you. I'm putting in a publishing offer. And so that was pretty cool, man. You know, I'm a man of faith. And I was like, well, that must be a God thing. I'm supposed to do music and not cut people for a living. So thankfully, you know, I'm writing songs and singing them instead of popping out wisdom teeth here and there.
I am a big believer in fate and that stuff will happen when it's supposed to happen. You don't get much better timing than that.
No, man, it's it was supposed to happen, man. That was fate. That was God. That was, you know, whatever. I mean, it was 6 months to the day. And the thing is, I didn't tell anybody, like, hey, I promised my family I have 6 months. And they're like, well, when'd you graduate? Like, I didn't say anything. That was just my family knew about that. And my wife now is my girlfriend then, and she knew about it. And so it was literally just family that knew about that.
That's pretty incredible. And I feel like anybody that's had some sort of musical ambition has sat down and tried to write a song at some point. But how do you go from just wanting to write a song to making that a full-time thing like that and actually getting signed? What's that process look like for an outsider? Or is there no process? It's just kind of happens.
There is no set way, in my opinion, of like, this is how you do it. You just write your ass off. I don't know if I'm allowed to cuss, but write your tail off.
Hey, cuss all you want.
Yeah. Write your ass off. That's the best advice I can give you. Be seen. You know, it's just go to writer's nights, whether you're playing or not, you know, listen to people, you know, if you feel comfortable asking them for a co-write or asking them for advice, do that. But I mean, you just write. And when you think you're done with writing and you can't write anymore, you freaking figure it out and figure out a new idea and you write it, go back to an old idea that you didn't do right and write that again. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of time alone or with a couple other people in a room, just trying to tell a story or, you know, make something out of nothing. But yeah, it's just a whole lot of work.
Well, that is actually some solid advice and pretty much falls in line with what any other songwriter I've talked to in Nashville has said. Right. And it's worked out pretty well for you. You had some big songs cut by Dierks Bentley and Jason Aldean. And I'm really going to dig into the songwriting thing with you. What's that process look like to get a song cut by an artist, just another artist, one, but an artist of their caliber also?
It is one of the greatest feelings ever. I mean, I've listened to both Dierks and Jason for a long time, and I've never thought that I'd say they're friends and we can text each other and play Call of Duty and stuff. That's pretty wild. But man, it's a crazy feeling. You know, my first cut ever, which, I mean, if you're listening to this, you don't know what a cut is. That means like you wrote the song, the artist records it, and it's actually happening. It goes on the record. And my first one ever was Dierks Bentley, Somewhere on a Beach. And that was life changing. Sorry, my dog's scratching. He can hear the
No color. Worries.
but yeah, man, it was Summer on a Beach was the first cut, and that feeling was absolutely, I couldn't. It's like all those years of hard work and people giving you funny looks when you're like, I'm gonna be a songwriter. And they're like, weren't you gonna be a surgeon? Didn't you have that kind of ready to go? And I was like, yeah. But it's just it was an incredible feeling.
I can imagine. And actually, the first time I heard your name was probably about 5 years ago. I was still in country radio, and Michael Tyler, who's a co-writer on Somewhere on a Beach, actually came through on a radio tour. And then I started looking at who else was on that song. I came across you. It was right about the time that I Got You came out. And I've been a fan ever since that. But now the song's got 20 million streams on Spotify. What was it like for you, kind of the juxtaposition of watching a song that you wrote for Dierks Bentley and Jason Aldean have this success versus a song that you're performing and putting out yourself? What was the difference like there for you?
Difference. I mean, it was, so the artist stuff, like the I Got You, when I put that out, I've always wanted to be an artist. That's why I started writing music. Excuse me. And so the writing thing obviously took off before the artist thing, but I mean, I Got You, we just put it out as an independent artist just for fun. Cause it was like, hey, let's just see what happens. You know, nobody, it was on hold by a couple people and they just didn't end up cutting it. And it sat around for a while. And I was like, man, you know what? I think that song's good enough. And so that one, along with a few others, I was like, let's just put it out and see what happens. And it took off pretty dang good on all streaming platforms, but Spotify just absolutely exploded for me. And that was crazy. That was a whole different feeling, you know, than songwriting, where it's, you know, you write a song and somebody else cuts it. It was kind of like, oh man, that's me. You know, that's me doing that. It was wild. But I mean, as a songwriter, the way I would describe like hearing Jason or Dierks, you know, sing something that me and my buddies wrote is like, we created this thing, right? And then somebody else records it, like, oh, that's cool. And it doesn't, like, it's cool to hear on the radio, but it really hits you, like, when you're at a concert and like Jason is singing a song and there's tens of thousands of people singing it back, or Dierks is singing Somewhere on a Beach and there's like an insane amount of people being like, no, hell no, you know, like, man, we made that up, like, just a group of buddies just made that up in a room on Music Row, and it's like, it just went out into the world. It's like our little baby grew up and it's now a big thing.
That's got to be a pretty cool feeling. And really, I mean, more so kind of an endorphin rush more than, you know, something that you can't get anywhere else. And I've always kind of thought that being up on stage, no matter what it is, you know, comedy or hosting or emceeing or being an artist, there's something about that that's almost drug-like, almost addicting to hear, to get a reaction from a crowd like that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, a lot of things, I don't want to say take a backseat, but a lot of things, you know, take a hit or suffer for, you know, people that are in this industry. I mean, you sacrifice time with family, with friends, you sacrifice a lot. And then, but when something like that happens, man, it's like, it's an incredible feeling. And it really is. I mean, it's like, you can't get that feeling anywhere else, because it's something that you made that the world knows now, you know. And I was extremely fortunate to have that, you know, more than once, and it doesn't get old. It's just like, and it, you know, now I just want more, because I'm like, man, that was cool. Let's keep doing it. Let's go again.
You're always got to be chasing what's next, that bigger pop. But I want to pivot a little bit and talk more specifically about what your songwriting process looks like. And I know that it's completely different. Every time you sit down to write a song, it's going to be a completely different process. But as a songwriter, I don't know if a lot of people understand what that looks like, but you really are just in an office writing songs every day as your job. It's not something where you're just, you know, sitting in the bathroom, in the shower, writing songs on the mirror. I mean, sometimes that's the case, but what does a typical day in the life of a songwriter look like?
For me personally, and it's different, cause I don't do like tracks and producing stuff really, with songwriting. So I'm more of like the lyric guy, the melody guy, idea dude. So my day typically looks like I wake up, hopefully before my kid, so I don't get my shit rocked. Make her breakfast, take her to school, come back, let the dogs out, get my stuff, head to wherever I'm writing. Normally it's like a little studio writing room, depending on who I'm writing with. We sit down in a room and it's like, at this stage with me, it's like, all right, like who's recording right now? Or like, who's looking for their record? So-and-so is or whatever. And, I'll be like, well, so, this artist said that they're looking for this for their record. And then we kind of go around the room and, somebody be like, man, I got an idea that's called whatever, this. And so we're like, okay, we're like, well, what does that look like? And we just try to hash out like different angles on what that concept is, what that idea is. The producer, writer, the track guy, track girl in the room, kind of gets a vibe going. And then it's just kind of like as comfortable as you feel like freestyle doing shit. That's kind of what we do. I mean, we just make it up, and as you go along, it's like somebody might say something and then, another writer in the room is like, yeah, but what if it was this? You're like, oh man, like I didn't even think about it like that. So I love co-writing for those reasons. And then you sing, normally I'll sing the demo and just hang out in the room while the track guy, track girl, whoever it is, kind of brushes it up and offer insight as far as that goes. And then hopefully by the end of the day, it sounds like a record and we send it off to the artist and cross all our fingers, toes, pray fast, whatever the heck you got to do to hope it gets cut.
Well, so when you go into those rooms to write, and if you have kind of an idea of who you're writing for, do you ever get started on lyrics or something or bring a chunk of lyric to that write, or is a lot of it just organically in that room?
Both, honestly, it just kind of depends. I personally always come in prepared with at least a few ideas, if not like a verse or part of a chorus or an entire chorus written. And if we know if we don't use that, so be it. Sometimes it happens organically. I had two hits that happened with. But it's just that's the way that I roll. That's the way I was taught. Ashley Gorley is a huge songwriter and he took a lot of time out of his life and his days to kind of coach me through songwriting and melodies. I mean, dude would come over to my house once a week in college and say, play me what you wrote. I'd play it. Stop that. All right, right here. You should have did this. That was cool. That wasn't, that melody was great. Hit play again. Stop it. All right. That melody was cool. He's like, but it'd be cool if you did this. So, but he also taught me to always come in prepared, regardless of how big you are, how new you are. But I mean, that was some of the best advice that I got. And that's advice that I tell new writers all the time is make sure you come in the room prepared. It doesn't matter if they use your idea or they don't. If you come in prepared, it shows something to the other artists or writers, whoever it is in the room. They're like, okay, well, they actually gave a shit. They tried. Let's get more dates with them.
Well, and that connection with Ashley wasn't just something in college. I mean, it seems like you guys are still pretty close now. He even helped co-write Till the Neon's Gone, your latest single. You guys end up in the room a lot together?
Not as much as I'd like to, but he's super busy. I mean, we definitely still end up in the room together from time to time. And that guy is just a machine. There's nobody in Nashville that does it like Ashley does, man. I've never seen anything like that in my life. And I've written with damn near everybody at this point. But yeah, I mean, we'll still text back and forth here, and write whenever we can, but yeah, I mean, I owe a lot of what I do to that guy for sure.
I was going to say, it seems like having somebody like that in your corner definitely helps.
Oh man. It's like, if you're in high school and you're a quarterback and Tom Brady decides to show up to your house once a week and teach you how to throw a ball. And like,
exactly,
read defenses and stuff. Like, I had the Tom Brady of songwriting come to my freaking condo and being like, you're holding the ball wrong, do it like this.
But that's pretty cool. And now you're an accomplished songwriter yourself. You've been doing that for a while. You're ready to step out a little bit more on your own as an artist, making that transition really kind of this year. Is kind of your year to come out. You signed with Average Joe's kind of during the pandemic, and we've had a few other Average Joe's artists on the show. And the one common theme that we always hear is how supportive that label is from the top down. How important has it been to have their support as you kind of pivot towards more of an artist focused career?
It's incredible. I mean, I've had friends, and I have friends on different labels, and what I noticed a lot of times is sometimes those labels don't let the artist be the artist. And Average Joe's lets Josh Miranda be Josh Miranda. I mean, the first song meeting that we had for, you know, Till the Neon's Gone, and we cut some more songs, and they'll be coming out here soon. But, you know, I was expecting them to be like, you know, I come in with a bunch of songs. They're like, okay, well, these are the ones you're going to do. Well, it's not what happened at all. And it kind of really threw me off. And I was like, oh, they're going to let me do what I want. And that was super neat to me as an artist. It's like, they trust me, you know, they signed me to be me. I remember we were down to like one more slot, to kind of wrap up that project that we were working on at the time, but again, will come out soon, but we had one slot left and there's two songs. And I was like, dude, I can't pick. And they were like, well, this is your project. Like, what do you want? And then Shannon, you know, one of the owners came down the hall and he's like, how's it going? And I was like, it's great. I was like, we got a good problem. Like, we got one slot left and there's two songs. And I don't know which one. And he's like, well, play them for me. So Shannon sat down. He's on his way to a meeting. We played them, but he goes, you got to cut them both, man. He's like, you got to do it both. And I was like, all right, well, boss man said it. We're going to do that. But
yeah, you can't argue with him.
No, man, them. And I mean, Colt Ford's like a brother to me. And, you know, he's over there too. And he's part owner. And man, they just let me be me, which is awesome.
And that's what I hear from everybody that I talk to over there, that the biggest thing that they do is just let the artist do what the artist wants to do. Because obviously they signed you because of what they saw prior to them getting involved. So getting involved after they signed you is kind of backwards.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they just kind of like, you know, what do you want to do? This is what I want to do. Okay, let's help you make that be the best that it can. And it's incredible. I love it.
And you mentioned Till the Neon's Gone, and we have that here for everybody to listen to. But there's a pretty interesting backstory to this song, or at least kind of a parallel story, because your wife's family actually owns a sign and neon company in Nashville. And that's where the acoustic video was formed. And really, watching the video, it doesn't look like they even really cared that you guys were in there. It seemed like it was just
business as usual in the background there.
Yeah, it was business as usual. I mean, there was no – I showed up with an entire like video crew, right? Ready to do this acoustic video. And we get in the neon department, and I mean, the neon guys, they're blowing stuff. My wife runs the shop at this point, and I'm like, hey, like, is he going to go? And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, we have to shoot the acoustic video. She's like, yeah, it's a Tuesday. Like, we have to get these signs out.
she did not care. She's like, you could shoot it, but around us.
Yeah, no, they kept working, which was cool. And a cool story too about the sign that they were actually making. I can't tell you what it is exactly, but the sign that the glass blower was doing is a neon sign that is going to be in the Ryman. So
no way. That's yeah, really cool.
It was pretty cool that he told me that when we were done filming. He's like, hey, this is actually going to be in the Ryman. And I was like, the video? And he was like, well, hopefully. He's like, but I'm talking about the sign I was making behind you. I was like, oh dude, that's awesome. So but yeah, man, they've done so many like historic signs and in Nashville. I mean, they do neon, they do all sorts of anything that has a sign, LED boards and all that. So, but it was pretty cool and very fitting for that.
Well, so give us the story behind the inspiration for the song and what the writing process looked like.
Yeah, so this one was definitely not a standard procedure for song writing, I will say. So kind of two parts to this song. It started, I was in a room writing with Ashley Gourley and Rhett Akins. And Rhett had to take a phone call at like noon or something. He was like, it's gonna be 30 minutes. So we knew ahead of time. So we're like, that's totally fine. So Rhett hops out to take a call, and I'm assuming like, you know, Ashley, like, I'm just going to walk across the street to get some lunch or like, or some Postmates. And Ashley being the machine he is, he's like, you got another idea? And I was like, well, we only got 30 minutes. And he's like, yeah, he's like, we start another idea. He's like, what do you got? And I was like, man, I got this title called Neon Gone. And I thought in my mind, I was like, let's just write like a rocking Aldean, like neon gone, like kind of thing. And he
that
was
does
like,
kind of sound like an Aldean type title.
Yeah. I mean, I still might write it. So if anybody out there is listening, like I'm going to write it. So don't.
There you go. You heard it here first. Probably not first, but you heard it here.
Dibs. But Ashley was on the piano and he's like, what if it wasn't rocking? It was something weird. And he did a really cool thing with it. And I just had my voice memo going. And it was the melody of the chorus. And I was like, all right. I was like, that's pretty cool. And then Rhett came back in early. So we stopped that, back to business as usual with the other idea we were writing. And nothing came of that. And so, you know, months later, I don't know the exact time because we wrote it a while back, but John Knight's a good buddy of mine. And he came over to my house to write. And it was just us two. And we're going back and forth with ideas. And I was like, I got this title and a melody that Gorley and I were working on. It's called, you know, we changed it at that point to Till the Neon's Gone or Neon Gone, whatever. And he's like, man, that's cool. Now I got constructions. That makes me. He goes, but what if, he's like, what if it's not like a, like that kind of twist on? He goes, what if it's like, I'm going to love you till the neon's gone. And I was like, dude, I love that. And so we ended up writing Till the Neon's Gone in a way that I never thought it would be written, with Ashley's melody and stuff. And I mean, it just kind of all fell out, to be honest with you. And that was one of the easiest writes I've ever had.
I feel like those are always the best types of songs. The ones that just kind of fall out. They always end up being special.
Yeah, it was, I love those days. Those are great days for me.
Well, here, let's let everybody take a listen to it. This one's called Till the Neon's Gone by Josh Miranda.
I keep you swaying till the last dance. You can be my Mary Jane. The way your eyes burn right through me. With my hands around your waist. All the ones that came before me, well, they weren't strong enough to stay. 'Cause the truth about a cowboy is the good ones don't always ride away. And I'm gonna love you till the neon's gone, till there's no whiskey left in honky-tonks, till there ain't dirt and country songs and steel guitars don't play. Yeah, when that crowd forgets and we're around and you feel like those lights ain't shining down, I'll still be here, I'll still be hanging on. 'Cause I'm gonna love you till the neon's gone. Well, you said all good things have ended. Maybe that's just in the past. I don't care how many times you fail before, I just wanna be the last. 'Cause I'm gonna love you till the neon's gone, till there's no whiskey left in honky-tonks, till there ain't dirt roads and country songs and steel guitars don't. I'm gonna love you till the neon's gone.
brand new music, just came out in January. It's called Till the Neon's Gone by today's guest, Josh Miranda. And Josh, you just put this out a few months ago. What do you have in store for the rest of 2022 that you can share without getting in trouble?
I kind of don't mind if I get in trouble. That's just what I do. I ask for, my dad told me, he goes, you ask for forgiveness, not permission. So
there you go.
We got a lot more great music coming from what I think. The next thing, I haven't even said this publicly, but I think the next single is going to be a song called Mile a Minute, which I also wrote with Ashley and Rhett and Will Weatherly. And I'm excited about it. If that's not the next single, it's definitely going to be on the project because we're still writing. We're just trying to beat some stuff out. But we're going to have a lot of music coming. And I'm not holding anything back. I'll say that. I'm going to give this I'm going to give it hell until it works. And so a lot of music that I'm a fan of, that is me. When you listen to anything that says Josh Miranda as an artist, that's who you're going to get. And so hopefully people like it. I mean, Till the Neon's Gone's got more of like a tip of the hat to the old school country vibe. And, you know, the next one's kind of straight down the middle. And then one of them kind of leans more pop. And then I bring it back with some country stuff. There's a little piano ballad kind of thing on the project. So I'm really excited about it, man. It's kind of everything, a little bit, everything I listen to mixed into one project. And I was lucky enough to be a writer on all the songs. So
nice. Any chance we'll see that this year, or is it pushed off a little ways?
Maybe not the entire. Well, actually, probably. You at least gonna get an EP this year. I'll say that. At the very least, you're gonna get an EP this year, and probably one more single.
Big fan of that. Where can people keep up with everything you got going on? What are your social media handles?
So every social media handle I got is at Josh Miranda. That's JOSHMIRENDA. But yeah, you keep up with me on socials. I'm more active on Instagram than anything. I get ripped up by Megan at the label a lot for not being fluent in the TikTok, which is apparently what all these kids are out there doing these days. I can't keep up. But yeah, man, I'm on all the social media platforms. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I'd post day-to-day stuff. I golf a lot. I'm a big golfer. So you're going to get a lot of golf posts on there. You're going to get a lot of music posts, obviously. And I love to cook at the house. So if you follow me during the summertime, you're going to get a lot of big green egg recipes with Josh.
Oh, big fan of that too. And, yeah. And speaking of your Instagram and your golf, you got to give us a story behind golfing with John Daly, at least hanging out with him at the course.
Yeah, man. JD's my boy, man. I call him Uncle John. He calls me Three Wood. but yeah, he's a good buddy of mine. And I mean, I grew up obviously watching John Daly. I mean, he's a legend. And that's just another crazy thing of what music can do. And if you follow your dreams and they happen, I mean, it's insane. So, but yeah, I play a lot of golf with JD. And we drink a lot of beer and play a lot of golf and gamble a little bit here and there.
It sounds like my kind of party.
Yeah, hey, we in your neck of the woods. You come on out, man. It's definitely, we have yet to have a bad time with John. I'll say that. I've yet to have a bad time.
Hey, I'm going to have to hold you to that. But Josh, man, it's been an absolute blast. We'll definitely have to do this again down the road. But before we let you go, we end the podcast the same way that we start it, with four questions we call the final four. These ones are going to make you think. You up for it?
Perfect. Well, the final four just happened. Let's do another final four. I'm ready for it.
It's time for the final four.
What is your favorite venue that you've ever been to? Played, visited?
Played and visited and been to. I'm going to go with the Ryman just because it's such a historical place. And I've shared a lot of great moments at the Ryman. I went to a lot of concerts there. I saw friends' bands play there, sold out. I won Song of the Year there with Dierks. I got to play it with Dierks, and that's a very special place to me.
And now part of your music video is going to be there.
I mean, technically, yeah. I can't tell you what it is, but that sign is going to be up there.
I'm just going to take 500 pictures the next time I'm there.
One of these
was in there somewhere.
You have to stop the music video, acoustic video, be like, stop and be like, all right, this is kind of looks like it's bent this way. It's got to be this one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, and you can cheat on this one if you need to. Who are your three most recently played artists on your Spotify or Apple Music?
I've got to go past the Disney stuff because...
Yeah. I feel like that's probably a given if you got a little kid.
Yeah, I mean, if not, it's going to be like Moana, whatever. Okay, so let's we got Morgan Wallen on there, obviously. We have Drake, Hardy, and Rick Ross. That was four. Yes, but that's literally in order of what it is after I skip Moana and Frozen.
That's solid. I feel like the first three kind of make sense, and then Rick Ross being thrown in there.
I love Rick Ross. I'm a massive Rick Ross fan. Ricky Rose, huge fan.
Okay, Josh, when you're out on the road, what's the one place that you have to stop by every time you see it? Store, restaurant, gas station, whatever it is. When you see it, you have to stop.
Whataburger.
Okay, there you go. That was quick.
There's no question. It's Whataburger, 100%. Unless I'm on West Coast, then we're going in and out. And I get there's a huge debate, but I mean, a Whataburger for sure.
Oh, controversial take here at the end of the podcast.
I mean, leave them hanging a little bit. We got to do this again. So be like, that's a jackass that said Whataburger.
Exactly. Okay, here we go. Last question, Josh, and take as much or as little time as you want to answer this one. If you could pick one thing for people to take away from your appearance on this show or just your music in general, what would it be?
It would be chase your dream. If you think you have what it takes and you're willing to put in the hard work because talent is not going to be enough, then do it. That's what I want people to take away with everything that I do is if you think you have the talent and you're willing to put in the work, do it.
There you go. Life advice from Josh Miranda. Josh, thank you so much, man. This was an absolute blast. Like I said, we'll have to do it again.
Oh, absolutely. Let it be known the controversial Whataburger In-N-Out guy. We're coming back.
There you go. And that was another episode of the Tea Party Podcast. It's the country music podcast where you find new friends and new music like Josh Miranda until the neon's gone.
Go tee off on the like button at facebook.com/teapartypodcast.
This has been a Tea Party Communications production. Theme music created by Jesse Quant. Announcer voiceovers by Jake Wynn. And as always, hosted by Ty Pisani.